creating a small painting depicting just an eye and a nose from a human face. The logo for the company, Icon, whose name appears below in white letters. Dimension Films' name appears on the screen, followed by the Village Roadshow picture logo, a V-shaped chrome metal strips decreasing in size on a black background. And finally, a small animated picture showing a stream flowing through a forest with mountains in the background, the logo used by Emu Creek Pictures. British Sky Broadcasting presents with Dimension Films and Village Roadshow Pictures, an Emu Creek Pictures production of the Greg McLean film Rogue. A huge orange sun rises in the red sky. A caption reads, Northern Territory, Australia. A camera in the aircraft films the breathtaking scenery of the Northern Territory, passing over vast areas covered in thick green forest with tall rock formations bursting out from the trees and high up towards the sky. Deep valleys are gorged into the landscape. At the bottom, large rocks lay in pools of clear water, the remains of once powerful flowing rivers. The camera follows a stream that squeezes its way through a course of large rocks littered in its path, then dramatically flows over a sheer drop, cascading far down into a rocky pool. A herd of long-horned wildebeest graze at the side of a tranquil lake. One of the herd makes its way to the water's edge. It stands carefully scanning the area, looking for the signs of danger. Its nostrils twitch as it samples the air, checking for the scent of a predator. Satisfied it's safe to do so, it lowers its head into the water. Immediately, a set of sharp-toothed jaws shoot out from the water and clamp around the animal's head. The wildebeest is dragged into the lake by the powerful predator towards the deeper water, where it ultimately disappears below the surface. The rest of the herd flee in fright. The tranquility returns to the lake, a few ripple rings on the water's surface being the only remaining evidence of the gruesome kill. Underwater, dark letters spelling the film's title Rogue pass in front of the camera. The word Rogue then appears in large white letters. A greyhound coach stops on a deserted, dusty road. A simple hand-painted sign points the way to Merv's store. A young American man, Peter McKell, a travel writer, steps off the coach. He's dressed in a light beige suit. His face is evenly covered in short stubble, and he wears a pair of Ray-Ban aviator sunglasses. He draws deeply on a freshly lit cigarette while he walks towards Merv's store. He untucks his white shirt and removes his jacket in the hot morning sun. He passes two young Aborigine boys playing football. A large grey dog watches him from its shady spot. He stops outside Merv's store and drops his cigarette onto the dirt track. He looks around the small town, which comprises of only a few timber buildings with corrugated roofs. At the end of the street is a small Shell service station with two bright yellow pumps in front of it. Outside Merv's store, a poster has the headlines for the local paper. It reads, Fishing Boat 3 Still Missing. He squashes his cigarette butt and heads into the store, nodding to the men sitting out on the porch. Inside, the dim and grubby store is filled with various preserved specimens of the local wildlife. A large, long-haired, bearded and heavily tattooed man sits at the bar with his dog tied to his stall. Peter approaches the bar.
Hot as hell out there, huh?
Well. How are we today, young man? What can I do you for? Must be cozy in that suit, eh?
Oh, you know, the airport lost all my bags.
Well, so. It's going to be a real scorcher today.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm supposed to catch a boat cruise from here? Or...
Yeah, a few years back, you'd be lucky if you saw any tourists up here at all. Yeah. Too remote for most people. It's changing pretty quickly, I can tell you.
The tattooed man belches.
Right, can I get a coffee, please? Real strong, two sugars?
How about a cappuccino? Give the new machine a workout, eh?
Peter takes a call on his mobile phone.
Phil. Hey. What's going on, man?
How's Chicago? Everything's fine, except for the fact that they lost my bags at the airport.
And of course, my computer was in my bag, and I need my computer to finish the article. So could you call Greg at the office and tell him what happened? Because I really need someone to track down those bags for me. Hello? Hello? Hello, can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Phil?
Get out of there.
Can you hear me now? Hey, can you hear me? Hey, there you are. No, the service here sucks, dude. Oh, no, it's over. Yeah, I should move out last week. Whatever. Why do you think I took this shitty job? Hello?
Merv drops a dead fly into Peter's coffee as he misunderstands the comment about the service sucking. Peter looks at a large collection of black and white photos on the wall, all of which feature huge crocodiles caught in the area.
There you go. Real strong. It's on the house.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot. Hey, nice picture.
That silly bugger will think twice about going swimming at night, huh?
The camera zooms in on a gory colour photo on the wall, showing the arm of a 12-year-old boy protruding from the slice-open gut of a crocodile that, according to the text below the picture, had eaten him whole. After taking a few sips from his coffee, Peter looks suspiciously into the paper cup, then drops it into a bin. He makes his way to a small jetty where a tour boat is moored. A large sign reads, Ryan's Wildlife River Cruise. Several tour boats are moored at the jetty. Most of the tourists get aboard the first and smallest of the boats. The young blonde female captain welcomes everyone aboard and checks their tickets. The boat quickly fills, with Peter being amongst the last few people to get aboard.
Wow, it's so low.
Better you than me.
Okay, so one of the rules of my tour is that you have only one chance to complain about the heat and the flies. Nice to meet you. They're a fact of life up here, and whinging about them all day isn't going to make them disappear.
Simon, get hold of those flies.
Might have to kick you off the boat, mate. Ticket?
Oh, I've got one, trust me.
Two tickets,
there,
sir.
Just me.
No worries. Sit anywhere you like.
We ain't no crocodile, man.
Jesus.
We're on bush time now, so should Abby's back around 5 or 6.
She's your kid, and we kind of promised her crocodile, so.
Honey, it's 2 hour take. I'll get footage.
The tour boat is named the Suzanne. It backs away from the jetty and out into the wide river.
Welcome to Ryan's Wildlife Cruises. My name's Kate Ryan, and I'm going to be your tour guide today, in case you haven't figured that out. This is my business partner, Kevin. Say goodnight, Kev.
Yes, you are. Oh, my God, you're so cute. And you wish you got a dog.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I thought you were a cat person.
Anyone have any questions? All right, let's go check out some crocs. Northern Territory is home to the biggest population of saltwater crocodiles in the world, spread throughout several large tidal river systems. The state covers a landmass double the size of Texas, but we have a population of only 200,000 people. As you can imagine, we all have pretty big backyards.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Hi there.
Hi, I'm Gwen.
Hi, Gwen. Would you mind...
Oh, no, sure, head of the set.
No, sorry. It's a smoke. It's kind of wafting.
Right, shite, okay. Story of my life. I'll go down back.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Really appreciate that.
Thanks a lot.
Gwen goes to the rear of the boat and sits next to Kate while she finishes her cigarette. Her father takes a photograph of his wife and daughter on the tour.
Where's the zoom on this?
We don't need the zoom.
Oh, there it is there.
Come on, darling.
Okay, smile. Hmm? Oh, Cher, what are you doing? Look at that.
Oh, darling, don't put your face.
Excuse me, do you want me to take a photo of the family?
Oh, yeah, that'd be super.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that would be good, thank you.
Thanks very much.
The big button?
Yeah, just that one.
Okay. Okay, here we go. Oh, that is a beautiful camera.
Thank you.
Yeah, is that new?
Oh, yes, I got it for Christmas.
Yeah, nice. Cute little snapper. I mean, she's no digital SLR. It's a single lens reflex. I've got a 25mm lens. I've got a 35mm right through to a 155mm. Doubler pushes it out to 300mm, but who's counting? No, I'm not.
Well, that's very impressive.
It is indeed. Guess how much?
The river opens up and floods across a large area of wetland inhabited by an array of bird species. Simon, the photographer, wastes no time in putting his equipment to good use.
Man, it's like the, African Queen. It's hot and horny and I just want to get naked. I could come into the room. Yeah, we could do that.
Do you want to sit somewhere else?
I like staying next to
you. No, do you want to sit there?
No.
There's a spare seat. Sit there.
I paid for this.
You're better than me. Sit there.
Well,
really?
No, this is
harassment. Please,
with
no. Just sit here.
You
it's a spare
you can't
seat.
Make everybody
please.
Move to the back of the boat. No.
Enough already with the sex talk, okay?
Boat.
Okay, okay.
It's not your boat.
The Suzanne approaches another tour boat which has stopped in the shallows on one side of the river. On board the boat, someone is dangling a large chunk of red meat over the side, tied by string to the end of a long pole.
Shite, it's hot, isn't it? Hey, what are they waiting for?
Keep watching.
A large crocodile surges out of the water and grabs the meat.
What was that?
Right there, love.
Look at the size of the basket.
Oh,
are you right? How often does it do that?
Every day at 2.
Wow, every day at 2?
Yep.
And how high do they jump?
Well, they can jump right out. They use their tails to propel them. I mean, sometimes they come right up to you.
So, it could come into the boat, right? It could come into the boat.
You'll be right, so long as you don't go in the water.
I'm not planning on it, I'll tell you that.
Kate guides the boat along the twisting river that runs through the Kakadu National Park. She slows to a stop, allowing her passengers to photograph a large crocodile basking in the sun.
So steamy. Dad, imagine if it bit you.
Yeah, it's amazing.
All right, the species that we're looking at today, the saltwater crocodile, is probably the most dangerous member of the crocodilian family. They're pretty much living dinosaurs who have been perfecting their hunting skills over 200 million years. So they can swim underwater at up to 20 miles an hour without making a ripple on the surface. And they can burst out to attack with incredible speed. They're also known to watch their prey and learn their habits. In fact, you can see this bloke looking at us now. So if any of you are camping up here near a river and you need to get water, make sure you do so at a different time every day because the croc will learn your routine. You might want to avoid that. Croc gets a hold of you and he can't swallow you in one go, he will literally tear you to pieces.
Super. Oh, Adam, can you imagine?
So how big do they grow?
Well, that one there was a little one, but they can grow from 20 to 25 feet long, weigh up to 2 ton. There have been stories of bigger ones, but the crocs that we're looking at today are just as dangerous.
Are there many attacks on people?
Tourists, occasionally.
That's important.
Don't worry, man. We're perfectly safe on this boat. They won't attack anything bigger than they are.
How big is this boat?
Yeah. Big enough.
Sure, whatever.
Just lighten up a little, will you?
Right. The bigger the better, if you ask me.
Peter busily makes notes in a small black book. The tour passes by an exciting assortment of wildlife, more crocodiles, pelicans, and various wading birds. Gwen feeds Kate's black and white collie, Kevin, with some of her sandwich.
Aren't you beautiful?
Oh, no.
Peter heads to the rear of the boat and sits down next to Kate.
Jesus. Anyone complain about the flies yet?
That was your one shot.
That wasn't a complaint, that was a question.
How long are you out here anyway?
Oh, just a few days. Alice Springs after this, then home.
Where's that?
Chicago. I'm a travel writer for a magazine.
Sounds like a life.
How about you? You travel a lot?
Never left the territory.
You're kidding, right?
Why would I want to leave all this? It's amazing watching people's faces the first time they come out here. You might want to take your seat. Gets a bit hairy around this bend.
Aye, Captain.
Kate spots a small boat approaching fast. A man in the bow has dropped his trousers and is exposing his buttocks to the tourists. They laugh and photograph the spectacle. The small boat pulls alongside and bumps into the Suzanne.
Oi, bloody charming. It's ladies' present.
Sorry, ladies.
Sorry about that, folks. This shouldn't take a minute. Mate, I'm at work.
Katie, we're just saying g'day to the tourists, yeah? G'day.
Tourists?
Tourists. Yeah, you can take the photo, darling.
Ooh, please, pop it out.
Hope you brought your microscope.
All right, you've acquainted yourself with the tourists. Now would you acquaint yourself with the other end of the river?
Oh, come on, mate. Let's just fuck off, eh? No, hang on. I just want to know why Miss Captain Katie Koo here is acting so high and mighty these days. What is it, Katie? Why won't you have a bar, Miss Wade?
Excuse me, son. Young lady asked you politely to remove yourself. We'd like to get on with our tour.
It's fucking me. It's John fucking Wayne. This is the tour, John. Me and Cole, we're the wildlife.
Colin holds up two dead ducks he had in his boat.
I'm going to keep this simple for you. I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask you to leave.
The fuck are you gawking at for us?
One.
I don't know. I got the brochure, but didn't say anything about assholes.
He's a poofter, mate.
Two. I'm not kidding, mate.
Oh, shit, Katie.
Colin quickly reverses the small boat backwards, sending Neil tumbling into the river.
Right there, mate. Sorry about that, folks.
As you can see, human pollution is one of the greatest threats to the environment out here.
Colin brings his boat over to Neil and helps him out of the water.
Get it, mate.
The river now flows along a deep gorge. Sheer rock faces rise vertically on both sides of the river. Russell, one of the passengers, a quiet man with glasses and a thick moustache, discreetly removes a small silver urn he had wrapped in a cloth in his bag. He unscrews the top and sprinkles the contents into the river. Sherry, the young girl on board, watches him and smiles quickly when he notices her looking. The boat meanders along the river. All aboard are settled and quiet while they take in the magnificent scenery. Another passenger, Everett, starts to film with a handheld video camera, but is distracted by a red light shooting across the strip of blue sky at the top of the gorge.
Did you see that?
No, what?
I think I saw something. Flare, I think. Up there.
Should we say something?
Excuse me, miss.
My husband just saw something.
I think it was a flare.
Where'd you see it?
Up there. Flare.
Did anyone else see it?
No.
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 Wait, I got the tape.
Yeah, rewind it a little bit.
It's right here.
Oh, Jesus, I saw it.
The other passengers spot a second red flare. Kate gets on the boat's radio.
Did you see that? Base, this is the Suzanne. Are you there, Bill? Over. Base, this is a Suzanne. Do you read me? Over.
I can't understand you. I'm in Kingston Gorge and I'm getting severe interference. Do you read me? Look, I think I just saw a flare, so I'm going to head up river and check it out. Suzanne, out. All right, we've just seen what looks like a distress flare, so we're going to take a quick run up river and see if anyone's in trouble. I realise this is a bit of an inconvenience, but we do have to respond.
I got a bus to catch at 6:30.
Yeah, so do we. We're meeting family.
Who do you think it is? Could be poachers. They sometimes go into Arnhem Land.
It could be anyone.
Could be anyone. And if it was you up there, you'd want me to respond in exactly the same way. So keep your seat, sir.
I'm sorry, but my wife and I, we really need
Alan,
to...
please,
no,
I'm
not having you out here all day.
How long do you think it will take?
Can't be more than a couple of miles upriver.
Okay. You all right? Are you all right?
The majority of the passengers seem a little unhappy with the prospect of returning back late. Kate pushes on up the river regardless.
You okay?
Not really supposed to go through here. This is sacred land.
Shouldn't really matter if someone's in trouble, right?
She'll be right.
Simon photographs a primitive drawing of a massive crocodile etched into the rock face alongside the river. The river finally exits the gorge and wanders through a flat grassy plain. The blue sky has become overcast, and on the horizon a rainbow stretches up into the thick grey clouds. Peter checks the time on his wristwatch.
I reckon it came from deeper in the swamp somewhere. What do you think?
Well, I think we've gone as far as we can. Besides, there's nobody here. It's gonna get dark soon. We should probably go.
Kate has taken the Suzanne into a small cove. She is about to turn around when she spots the upturned hull of a small boat just ahead of them.
Flares came from. This has really gone too far. We must keep that. I can't get you out here anymore.
Okay, you should.
A large speeding object below the water strikes the Suzanne, almost tipping it over. Water immediately begins to gush in from a hole punctured in the hull. Kate starts the engine and guns the Suzanne towards a small island in the cove. The Suzanne beaches up a short muddy bank and stops abruptly, hitting a large rock head on.
Well, let's get off, let's get off now!
The terrified tourists leap off the front end of the boat and onto the small island. Kate looks shocked as the Suzanne's submerged engine cuts out, and the passengers' possessions float in the water-filled hull.
All right, there's a radio in one of these bags.
Oh, you're putting it in here.
Should be in here somewhere. All right. Can you find it in there?
No, it's not in here.
Oh, shit. Does it work?
What about the boat radio?
It's wet, but it should still work. Stay off the boat. It's not working, mate. It's underwater. Can you take that up on here and see if it's in the water? Dry it out. Just keep switching channels, mate.
No bloody radio. You've got us stuck on this tiny little island with no bloody radio.
Kate.
Hello, emergency. Hello, can anyone hear me? Over.
What's going on here?
We're going to miss the bus. We're late.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know what? I don't want to be here. Take a deep breath. You're up. Okay?
Yeah.
Miss, we have no radio, so what the hell happens now?
Well, how will anyone know where we are?
I thought you said crocs wouldn't attack a boat.
Right, they're territorial animals, so if we've stumbled into one's territory, it's possible it might have given us a little nudge just to let us know we're not wanted.
A little nudge?
Tell that to whoever was in that boat. My God, we're in the middle of nowhere.
Listen, we have to stay calm, man. We're going to be fine. My dad's going to realize something's happened and he'll send a search party to find us.
Where might that be exactly?
Well, we're a long way out river, so it could take a couple of hours.
This is a tidal river, isn't it? This is a bloody tidal river.
What? What does that mean?
Well, see that bunch of trees up there? Well, that's how high the tide will be when it comes in. Yeah, the whole bloody place will be underwater.
Look, that won't be for hours, and we should have time to be able to fix the boat by then.
Miss, I don't know a lot about boats, but seriously, now, we can't sit on this pile of mud waiting to go underwater in pitch black.
If we can get across, we can walk it in a few hours. You know, it's the only way we're going to get help.
How the hell are you going to get across?
Why do you think? So what are you saying, mate? You with me?
No, Everett, no.
Honey,
it's okay.
All right, I am in charge of this group, and what you are suggesting...
If we don't get across right now, it's going to be too late. All right, you understand? Well, what? Would you lot prefer to get through that in the dark? Come on, I don't know. I friggin' why
don't know. Bloody hell.
You're not going in the water.
Hey, buddy, come on. Come on, buddy.
No, don't do that.
Hands,
come on. Hey,
shush.
Come on.
Everett releases his grasp on Russell, who then rejoins the group on the small island. Suddenly, a huge swirl disturbs the shallow water and Everett disappears. The group just catch a glimpse of a row of jagged plates on the crocodile's tail slipping below the water.
Somebody do something! Everett! Stand back.
No! Come back.
Fuck away from
me! Come back. All of you,
Everett!
Stay away from the water!
Everett!
Jesus. Yeah. Hey, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right.
No!
Find me.
Everett!
Help us.
Somebody do something!
A little insect abandons its perch on top of a small broken tree trunk and swims to a higher spot as the river rises on the tide. Peter looks across the water to the surrounding dense jungle. He pulls his mobile phone from his pocket and holds it up, but the screen reads no signal. Alan, Sherry's father, holds the VHF radio in the air, searching for a signal. Kate and Peter board the waterlogged Suzanne and search for flares.
How long do you stay until the tide comes?
Can you grab that flashlight?
What, like a couple hours or...
What?
How long do we have before the tide comes? In hours or minutes?
Look, with an animal that aggressive out there, I think the tide's the least of our problems. It's going to be dark soon. We need light to see it doesn't.
We have to get off the island. We can't go in the water, so how the fuck are we going to get off here?
I thought you were supposed to be some kind of fearless travel writer.
Yeah, well, you know what? I just saw a man get eaten by a fucking crocodile. This is not what I do, all right? You know what I do? I write stupid articles about hotels and restaurants and resorts, not about the Australian outback. And by the way, I fucking hate animals, especially ones that can kill you.
Speaking of which, I'm going to kill my fucking editor when I get home.
Can't find the flares.
Would they be in a giant yellow box with the word flares written on the side of it?
Where?
Over there.
Shit.
The flares bob around in the water a short distance from the boat.
Fucked.
Over here! Quickly!
Did you get something?
I think it's music. Listen.
Colin and Neil speed into the cove in their small boat.
Told you to keep going. Told you to be there. Hey,
come on.
Hey!
Hey! Hey! Hey!
Oh, look at that. She's pretty happy to see you now, mate.
Hey, watch out!
Woo!
Neil takes off his baseball cap as Colin drives his boat past the island. Colin turns the boat around and comes to a halt, facing Kate and a group.
Neil!
Come back!
I hit it!
What? I can't hear
you! He cannot hear you! Now you want to talk to me? Huh?
What's wrong with the boat?
Colin's boat is struck from below and launched high up out of the water. Neil surfaces from the water and watches as Colin's boat sinks to the bottom. Everyone screams at Neil to swim quickly to the island.
Swim! Hey, swim!
Come on, Mike!
Swim!
Come on, keep coming!
Just keep swimming! Come on, Neil! Come on, mate, hurry up! You can do it!
Peter and Kate pull the shocked Neil out of the water. They all look out over the calm water. Just the two dead ducks, a few empty beer cans and a fuel container from Colin's boat remain afloat on the surface. A flock of birds take flight in the orange evening sky. The water level in the river rises rapidly as the tide comes in. Everett's wife, Mary Ellen, sobs quietly as darkness falls. She composes herself, wiping away her tears and putting her glasses back on. Kate tends to a small fire they've lit on the island. Peter gets the lights working on the Suzanne, illuminating an area on the bank where the group have gathered.
How long before your father comes?
Simon is filming with a small camcorder. He pans along the shoreline and spots a cool box washed ashore along with the dead ducks. He finds a long stick and tries to bring it in, as it contains six unopened bottles of beer. He eventually overcomes his fear and grabs the six-pack from the cool box and scurries back to the safety of the island.
Shit, I can't get this thing to start.
Neil pours a capful of petrol onto the puny fire.
Oh, that worked.
Local technique, mate. Right, I figured out a way to get across.
We just saw that woman. Well, how are you going to get across without getting in the water?
Oh, I am getting in the water.
Neil.
I'm going to swim across real quiet. I'm going to tie a rope from one of those trees to one of those trees over there. We suspend it a few metres above the water. We'll climb across. Piece of piss.
Okay. We just saw crocodiles jump 4 feet out of the water today.
Yeah, look, my wife won't be able to cross.
She's going to have to, mate.
But can we come back with help?
By the time we get back, you know, this island's not going to be here.
Oh, great. Fucking brilliant.
Oi, your wife will be fine. We will all be fine. But we have to move right now before it comes back.
Well, what makes you so sure it's going to come back?
Look around you, champ. We are still in its territory, and it doesn't like it. Plus, it's probably already tagged us, Katie. So.
What?
Tagged us? If they tag you as a food supply, they don't stop. It's like a vicious dog just guarding a piece of meat in its backyard.
Jesus.
And then they take you back to the place where it stores its kills and...
under a log or a bar somewhere.
Like I said, now is the best time to move because the fucker is busy.
Sunil.
Look, the tide's rising. We've got no choice. We go now with a chance, or later. You figure it out.
You want a hand?
Alan explains Neil's plan to his wife Elizabeth. Sherry listens in, looking concerned.
We're going to tie a rope from the island trees to the shore. Plan is to climb across.
You'll be able to cross fine. Don't worry.
Of course I will, sweetheart. Of course I will.
Kate chases after Neil.
Neil! I don't think this is a good idea.
Someone's got to cross.
You don't have to do this.
Okay, well, what do we do?
I think...
I'm not doing this to prove anything. It's just... Well, you want to go home, don't you?
Yeah, of course.
Right.
Russell secures a thick rope high up on the tree, then throws the line down to Neil and Peter.
Hey, hold this.
She's tied around your waist, I'll feed it out to you.
You better feed it out fucking fast, mate. You're not as stupid as you look.
Yeah, hopefully you're not either.
Keep away from the water.
Alan retrieves life jackets from the Suzanne and throws them to Kate.
Why do you think it's doing this?
Heard stories of them. Getting territorial, but people just keep going. They leave them alone. Us being here, that's going to be driving him crazy. He's going to feel as if we're moving in.
Yeah, but this is still pretty weird, right?
Ready?
Okay, we're right.
Neil slips the line over his shoulder, then taps Kate on her upper arm. He walks slowly and cautiously into the still dark water. Neil has a torch tied to the line, enabling the others to track his progress. Peter feeds the rope out as Neil begins to cross the short stretch of water. Just Neil's head and the bright beam of light from the floating torch are visible above the water. He swims slowly and quietly, barely disturbing the surface of the water. The others watch in silence with bated breath. They shine their lights over to the opposing bank to guide Neil. As Neil nears the other side, Mary Ellen approaches Kate.
Can I go first? I just want to get home.
Neil makes it safely across. He hurries up the muddy bank out of the water and quickly sets about securing the rope around a nearby tree. Neil pulls the rope taut and it rises several metres clear of the water surface.
He's done it. All right, good work.
Neil signals with his torch for them to start coming across.
I don't know if I can hold on that long.
Yeah. Okay, let's go. Up you go. Okay. Russell, can you get her up on the rope?
There you go. Watch your foot.
All right, Mary Ellen.
You're right.
Grab the rope.
You'll be right.
Now wrap your legs around the rope.
Okay.
And then it's just like I told you. One hand in front of the other, and you'll be over there in no time. That's it. There you go. That's it.
It's going well.
Really good.
Come on, let's
there you go.
All
right. We're going to have you out of here in no time, that's it.
Simon, if you see the slightest move, mate, you tell us.
Liz, I'm going to take Cherry across. And Kate, I'll be straight back for you. And we'll be absolutely fine. We'll be absolutely fine. It's all right, love.
That's it. That's great. You're across the water right now, so I just want you to keep breathing.
Can you see anything? Russell, shut the fuck up.
We'll be fine. We'll all be fine. We'll be fine.
Just keep going. You're almost there. Just keep breathing. That's it. Keep breathing. It's all right, love. Just take your time.
It's not all right. I can't hold on. I have to stop.
It's all right, Mary Ellen, you're going to be fine. Just keep breathing. You're going to be fine, Mary Ellen.
She's doing, she's stopping.
She's going to get us all killed if she doesn't hurry up.
Okay.
Come on.
You're doing fine.
I can't hold on. Is she
right? Gosh, she's frozen.
Siri, shake, come here, come here. We're going. Don't you fucking touch me! Don't you fucking come anywhere near me!
Don't you put her on that rock.
The rock will take three people, okay?
I am not Pendulum. That woman endangered the life of my wife and my
child. Slow down and think about what you're doing.
Why don't you fuck off? Get down!
Jesus Christ!
Stay away from me!
Fucking don't do that, you stupid fucker.
What are you
doing? Sherry, I'm here.
You're fucking crazy, get off the rock!
There shouldn't be three people. Yeah, we know that, mate! Know that. Bloody English idiot! Keep going, Cher, it's all right, I'm here. Just be right behind you, Cher. Just hold on.
I just moved.
Hold on. It's all right, I'm here. We'll be across in no time.
Just move, Mary Ellen. There's two people behind you. Move.
Yes, Cher, I'm here. Right behind you. Right behind you, Cher. Keep going.
Come on, Mary.
What is she doing?
She's not moving.
For Christ's sake, move!
Again.
Go on.
Neil, she's frozen. Get her moving. Keep going.
Neil drops his torch by the water's edge. Blood trickles down the lens of the torch.
Neil, she's freaked! Get her moving!
Neil!
Neil, come on!
Neil! What's happening? Oh, shit! Move!
Oh, shit! No, shit!
Alan's legs drop into the water. Sherry and Mary Ellen cling onto the swaying rope. The tree Neil tied the rope to uproots, dropping Alan, Mary Ellen and Sherry into the water. They all desperately swim back towards the island.
Come
The others on the island hold out their hands at the water's edge and pull the terrified trio out. Sherry's comforted by her mother, while Alan and Mary Ellen take deep breaths to recover from the exertion. Kate scans the surface of the water with her torch.
Kate, get back from the water.
Peter and Kate look down at Alan lying on the ground, gasping for air. Just as Kate was about to take Alan's hand, the enormous crocodile breaks out of the water, clamping Alan in its powerful jaws, then tossing him high up into the air, sending him crashing into the deep water. The huge reptile then turns and slips back into the water and heads for Alan, who helplessly thrashes midstream. Again, Alan is clamped into the crocodile's huge jaws and dragged under the water. Everyone stares at the spreading rings of ripples in the water where the crocodile submerged, with shocked expressions on their faces. As the night draws on, a gentle breeze blows through the branches of the trees on the island while the water level continues to rise. Russell gazes into the pitch black night. Peter bandages Kate's wrist.
Does that hurt?
No, it's fine. I think I sprained it. Oh, God.
How are they?
Sherry's in shock. And Elizabeth's not doing very well. She needs to take her medication.
Where is it?
She left it on the back of the boat, so it's probably floated away, but there's painkillers in the other first aid kit. Might not come till the morning. If I hadn't brought us here, none of this would have happened.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. Come here.
Sorry.
Come here. It's okay. It's not your fault that... No giving up yet, okay? All right, don't give up. Don't give up. It's okay. Okay. Yeah, that's better. Now let's go find this first aid kit.
Simon and Gwen watch nervously as Peter steps through the shallow water to get aboard the Suzanne. He finds a simple fishing line with a barbed hook floating amongst the debris. He then spots the boat's anchor. It appears to be a larger version of the fishing hook. He picks it up and brings it ashore.
We're dealing with an animal.
right? I mean, at the end of the day, it's just a stupid animal. So I was thinking maybe we can make some sort of a trap, have enough time to swim across.
Jesus, mate. The only way we're going to get off this bloody island is if someone turns up with a rather large boat. You know, I just don't think that's going to happen, do you?
You know, I know that's not going to happen, but the tide is moving in quick and people are falling apart, and we've got to do something now.
Bait. We don't have any bait either.
I know we don't have bait, but if we could somehow hook the fucker on this line with the anchor and keep it still for just a little bit.
We can use one of the life jackets to help keep it afloat.
Right, so that's great. You want to go fishing? Oh, that's nice. Well, you know, the results are in, Peter, and you're a fucking genius.
Hey, shut the fuck up, Simon.
Well, mate, I'm sorry. Am I the only one who's noticed what's going on here? I mean, there's an animal out there, and it's hunting us. I mean, why is it still after us?
I don't know.
And it's big. You know, it's like a fucking steam train with teeth, and numbnuts here thinks that we're going to hold it back with that bit of dental floss.
All right, just shut the fuck up, okay? How much time do we have?
Maybe half an hour, at most.
We've got a half an hour, okay? So we can either try and trap this thing and keep it still for long enough for us to get across, or we can sit here on our asses, and in a half a fucking hour, we'll be up to our necks in it.
Fucking Americans.
Yeah, righto, mate. I'm with you. All right?
We haven't got any bait.
Gradually, everyone turns and looks at Kate's dog, Kevin.
Yes.
No. No.
No. I can't.
Yes, you can.
I can't.
I have spent years...
I said no!
...battling for one more year, one more moment of knowing my daughter.
I can't.
I haven't come this far for that to go
no.
down some pile of mud in the middle of nowhere because you're not prepared to make a sacrifice.
Kate holds on tightly to Kevin and kisses his head.
I'm not going to let my daughter die. Oh, my God.
Right. Right.
Simon heads down to the water.
What the fuck's he doing?
They'll eat anything, right? Hey?
Simon holds up the two dead ducks from Colin's boat. The rising water laps around the group's fire and extinguishes it. Elizabeth talks with Sherry.
When we swim, you're to go first. You're not to try to help me.
But how are you going across?
One of the others is going to help you.
Well, what about you?
I'll be fine, darling. Let's just get you safe.
Russell and Simon take a look at the stretch of water they need to swim across.
What do you reckon?
Peter has tied life jackets to the anchor. He's struggling to secure the anchor line around a large rock.
Shit. Need some help with that?
What?
Never mind.
Kate skewers a dead duck onto the anchor.
Here, give it to me.
Pretty good at that.
28 years old and I can tie a knot. Never been anywhere.
Yeah, well, traveling's overrated, trust me.
Here we go.
Russell throws the baited line out.
Who's going to work the trap?
Well, doesn't it just sit there?
Crocs sense vibration in the water through their skin. Need to keep the bait moving so it thinks it's alive. Otherwise, it won't go for it. I'll do it.
No, you can't with your hand. I'll do it.
You done much fishing?
Yeah, once when I was six.
Nothing's changed. You watch the rope.
And the minute you see that life preserver move at all, you let us know, and then you get the hell out of here, all right?
You got it. And then what?
Wait for it to take the bait, and then we head for the other side. Come on, let's go. Come on!
You sure you want to be the last one across?
No, not really.
Peter agitates the anchor line while the others make their way to the other side of the island.
Okay, put that on. It's getting higher. Okay, this isn't going to work, is it? If it doesn't, we're going to have to make a dash for it. So we'll stick together, swim across as fast as we can.
Okay.
The smoking remains of the fire float on the tide. Russell brings a life jacket to Elizabeth.
I'm really sorry about your husband. I can't imagine what it must be like to not have a chance to say goodbye.
I've been saying goodbye for the past 3.5 years.
Well, we're getting ready to leave.
I can't swim. I'm not putting anyone else's life at risk. If I thought there was good reason, a year even, I would, believe me, I would rip this knot. So please don't make this any harder than it really is.
Put this on or you will be putting my life at risk. Of course, I'm not going to leave you here, okay? Good kid there.
Peter sits gently tugging on the baited anchor line. Kate sits with Kevin and the others, waiting to hear from Peter. Russell gazes across the stretch of water they need to cross. Sherry helps her mother negotiate her way down the steep bank.
Come on, Mum. I've got you.
Elizabeth hugs Sherry. Russell smiles fondly at them. Kate and Kevin go back to check on Peter.
Crocs like the sound of dogs. He should cross last.
Okay.
Promise me you'll take care of him.
Promise.
The anchor line snaps taut.
Go! Go! Get him out of here!
Oh, shit.
Come on, let's go! Let's go! Come on, it's on!
Okay.
Get him in, man.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, look, you just get in here. Don't worry about your mum and swim like hell.
Go.
Get in there and go! Go!
Move! Get
The huge rock tips back and forth as a powerful crocodile tugs on the line. Kate finally dives into the water, just as the others clamber up the bank on the opposite side. Just as Peter is about to leave, the line goes limp and the life jackets bob up on the surface. Over the other side, everyone has made it across. They help each other out. Peter lifts the mangled anchor out of the water. Kate is still crossing, swimming as quickly as she can. Peter spots the scales on top of the crocodile, just breaking the surface of the water, heading straight for Kate. It snaps her up in its jaws, then rotates in the water while dragging her deep down. Peter jumps into the blood-red water, hoping to find Kate. He continues to the other side and climbs up the muddy bank, accompanied by Kevin. Peter looks down into the water as Kate's floating torch rises to the surface. He reaches down and takes the torch out of the water. Reluctantly, Peter heads off into the dense forest with Kevin. Across at the island, the Suzanne's lights flicker and go out. Peter and Kevin pick their way through the forest along a narrow path.
Simon, wait up! Simon!
Dawn begins to break as Peter traipses through the damp and misty forest. Kevin suddenly bolts from Peter, pulling the lead from his hand.
Kevin, come here! Kevin, come here, you little shit! Kevin!
Peter chases after the dog, but it quickly disappears off into the forest. Peter sits and rests against a tree. He hears Kevin faintly barking in the distance.
Hey!
He follows the sound of Kevin's barking to a large cave-like entrance hollowed out at the base of an enormous tree.
Kevin!
Peter crouches down and enters the dark interior. He turns on the torch and scans the beam around looking for Kevin.
Kevin! Kevin! Kevin, come here, boy! Kevin, come on!
He slips and falls headfirst down a short shaft in the ground that drops him into a shallow rock pool. He picks up the torch and shines the light around the large chasm. He finds a body floating face down in the water. He turns it over, then quickly pulls back as he recognizes the horribly mutilated corpse as Neil.
Kevin!
Kevin's barking appears to be coming from a long dark tunnel leading off the rock pool. Peter pulls himself out of the water and cautiously heads down the tunnel. The beam of light from the torch eventually finds Kevin sitting in a large cave at the end of the tunnel.
Kevin! Kevin! Come here! Kevin!
The dog refuses to move, forcing Peter to go over to get him.
Kevin, come here! I said, come here, you little shit!
Kevin is standing guard over Kate's body, and although badly injured, she is still alive. Peter unzips her life jacket and finds her body covered in horrific puncture wounds.
Kevin! Kevin! Kevin, get back here!
Kevin bolts again, back down the tunnel. Peter turns and looks down the tunnel as Kevin's barking abruptly stops. He picks up Kate's limp body and looks up at a hole in the cave roof, letting in a shaft of light, but as an exit, it's inaccessible. He looks around for other options, then spots another shaft of light near to the side of the cave. He places Kate on a shallow ledge near to the shaft. He climbs up the side of the cave using the long sturdy roots from plants growing above in the forest. He looks up the tunnel, and frozen with fear, he watches as the huge crocodile emerges from the tunnel and shuffles its way into the shallow water at the bottom of the cave. The massive reptile hauls itself out of the water and proceeds to devour the remains of Kevin. Peter sits motionless on his perch up in the cave wall. He watches as the crocodile wraps itself around a large rock at the end of the cave. It then closes its eyes and appears to go to sleep. From his position, Peter gets a glimpse of the crocodile's snout. He holds tightly onto a root and carefully lowers himself down. Accidentally, he kicks a small rock into the water. He freezes for a moment and watches for any movement from the crocodile. It remains asleep, and Peter continues down to retrieve Kate. Peter lifts Kate down from the shallow ledge, all the time watching the sleeping reptile. He gingerly steps into the water at the bottom of the cave and slowly walks away from the beast. Every few steps, he turns and looks back, making sure the crocodile remains asleep. He gets across to the entrance of the tunnel and gently lays Kate's body down on the ground. He then quietly lifts himself out of the water while keeping a constant vigil on the crocodile. He picks Kate up and switches on the torch. Before he heads into the tunnel, he takes one last look back. To his horror, the crocodile is gone. With its jaws wide open, it bursts out of the water, snapping at Peter. Peter pulls Kate in behind a web of thick tree roots. The crocodile's cumbersome frame is unable to follow them through the narrow gaps. It bites at the roots, ripping them away with its immense strength. The crocodile clamps its teeth into the thick tree roots, then rotates its body, tearing its way through the tangled mesh. Peter slips back into the water and heads back to the rock where the reptile was sleeping, hoping to draw it away from Kate. He arms himself with a long but thin tree branch. Peter braces himself as the crocodile comes for him. He holds out the long piece of timber to fend off the creature.
Come on, you fuck! Come on!
crocodile snaps its jaws onto the wood, it breaks in two. It strikes again, clamping its teeth onto the remaining piece in Peter's hands. Peter holds on tight. The crocodile lifts Peter on the wood and hurls him at the cave wall. Peter scurries to the back of the cave and slips behind two rocks. The crocodile lunges at him, but its head's too broad to get through the gap between the rocks. The crocodile gets its head over the top of the rocks and snaps wildly at Peter. In the limited amount of space, Peter does his best to avoid the rows of lethal flashing teeth. He pushes the snout away but gets his fingers caught in the jaws. He wrenches his hand out, minus a couple of fingers. Peter picks up an animal bone he finds lying on the ground and drives a sharp broken end into the crocodile's eye. The reptile immediately retreats into the shallow water. It gets out and lays menacingly across the tunnel entrance. Kate coughs weakly. The crocodile reacts to the noise and embarks on another attempt to get through the thick tree roots. A large rock at it, striking it on its rear quarter. The distraction works as it begins to back out of the tangled roots and focuses its attention back on Peter. As the crocodile slides back into the water, Peter has spotted the broken tree branch he used earlier. The break has created a sharp end on the piece of wood. Peter picks it up and sits with his back up against the large rock, with a short length of timber also wedged against the rock. The huge beast glides slowly through the water towards Peter. It lunges at Peter, its jaws spread wide open. The sharp wooden pole pierces through the crocodile's head. Its teeth clatter into the rock behind Peter. The beast squirms briefly, then collapses dead from its fatal wound. Kate lays still unconscious, safely tucked behind the tree roots. A large pool of blood seeps into the cave floor. Peter's leg is laying under the huge head of the crocodile. His foot twitches slightly, then his head moves backwards and rests against the rock. He pulls himself up and climbs out of the gaping jaws of the crocodile. He drops to the ground and sits resting up against the creature's enormous body. Peter drags Kate through a narrow cave entrance out into the warm, bright sunlight. He looks up at the clear blue sky and rests for a while. Peter carries Kate through the forest. He spots a rescue helicopter hovering in the sky, then down below on the ground, the rest of the group are gathered and receiving attention from medics. Everyone is there. Peter brings Kate to them. They all sit in a subdued silence, shocked by the whole ordeal. Kate is trapped into a stretcher and is about to be lifted by the helicopter. Peter walks over to check on her.
What did you think of the two?
I think I'm probably gonna spend a little more time at home.
Thanks.
Peter watches as the stretcher with the paramedic lift off from the ground and head for the hospital. As the credits roll, a new picture is shown stuck on the wall in Merv's store. It shows Peter with the headline, "Tourist Defeats Killer Croc." The end.